God's word is a fire in my bones,
and I cannot keep it in.
We are not building an institution or a program.
We are building the kingdom of God.
This is Do Not Keep Silent.
Good evening, friends. Thanks for tuning in to Do Not Keep Silent. This hour, I've got a great interview for you with Larry Birch. I'm going to say somebody else, but he's the pastor at Evangelical Pietist Church, along with three youth that, well, they're not youth anymore. I guess they are what I would call young adults, and I can't wait to share that with you later on this hour. But welcome into this interview, friends. My name is Jason DeZurek, your host for the program. You can find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. My guest tonight, well, he's from Evangelical Pietist Church. If you've joined me recently, you know he's becoming a regular guest on the program. I'm thrilled to have him on. His name is Pastor Larry Birch. How are you doing, Pastor?
We're doing real good, Jason.
Awesome. That's great. And just appreciate you making the time to come and record with me on here because, well, without that, sometimes I don't have a program. So I'm thrilled you're here.
Happy to be here.
So, friends, again, just to give you a little background of what's going on regarding just Larry and me. Since the beginning of this year, 2021, I asked Larry at the end of last year if he'd consider and pray about maybe discipling me. And we decided to meet once a week since the beginning of the whole year here. And I think we missed one or two. But other than that, we're going through the book of 1 Timothy, and we finally made it to chapter 3.
Yeah.
Which is great. And, well, great, but can be frustrating because there's things in there that are really hard. But
well, we're
that's
moving
okay.
Like a limp snail. You
that's
know?
Right. That's right. And so in 1 Timothy 3, now, again, for those who maybe are just joining us, you know, they haven't heard our conversation in the past. As far as 1 Timothy, why is this book so important, not just to the Christian faith, but maybe of how the church works?
It's really a, if you want to say a blueprint, it's a blueprint for the church. It's a blueprint for pastors, elders, deacons, Sunday school teachers, people who think they're just pew warmers, which there doesn't exist in the true church, by the way. This is how to engage in ministry. It is concerned with the structure of the family. It is of the church. It's concerned with the structure of the family, and it is definitely an evangelistic three books: First and Second Timothy and Titus. This is getting your act together under the grace and power of God by the Holy Spirit, so that the word may go out into the world and accomplish God's purposes.
You know, I'm glad you bring that up because sometimes we look so inward that I think we do forget, hey, we've got to go out as well. And with that said, though, again, we're going to take a look at 1 Timothy 3, friends, if you want to join us. And right at the beginning of this chapter, it talks about the husband. We, you know, it, as far as, again, the beginning is just, this is a faithful saying, if a man desires the position of a bishop, if he desires a good work, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded. And we get to verse 3, and it says, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle. Not quarrelsome, not coveting.
Yeah, not greedy.
Yeah. And so but let's just kind of walk through that a little bit, because there's a lot of knots there.
Yeah, it's kind of like a book of nautical knots, I guess.
Yes.
Well, it is saying this is the pattern. You know, this is the pattern of living. And husband of one wife, certainly polygamy is not the ideal or God-intended design for marriage.
Right.
But one of the commentators I read on this, and I really appreciate it, kind of sounded like a country song, you got to be a one-woman man.
Mm.
And that's right on. That's spot on. And that's also a safeguard for a pastor or for any other male engaged in Christian ministry. You have to understand how critical your moral, spiritual walk is in terms of validating or discrediting the message.
You know, that goes right where we started, as far as I'm concerned, of that goes right along with the evangelism part you're talking
mm-hmm.
about.
Oh, yeah.
Because if people outside of the church are seeing us act just like them, then why would they even want to come join us? What's the point?
Yeah, there is no point, because that would just interrupt your Sunday morning coffee and newspaper.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And for me, a donut.
Well, yeah.
But I mean, there's so many times where, I mean, at least I hear this sometimes, where some people will just say, well, just, you know, just live your life, just do what you want. Well, but within the church, there is kind of a, there is a standard that we need to hold to, right?
Yes.
And so this is what this is addressing, is just holding to that standard and not being afraid to say, okay, I'm going to be that one woman man you're talking about. And not being afraid. Again, I talk about the importance of not worrying about your reputation with people, but your character.
Yeah, that's it. Character. Reputations, well, they're fleeting at best. Your character is defining who you are.
Hmm.
You know, not just what's out there in the public, but who you are. Are you a person who's being conformed more and more and more into the image of Christ? And we have to look at what we're doing in our life and ask ourselves, look in the mirror, do I see someone who's being conformed into the image of Christ, or am I trying to conform Christ into my image?
Hmm. Absolutely. I think, well, not just I think, it sounds as if it really comes down to, are we going to respect, fear Almighty God, or are we going to just full out respect and fear humans, men? We need to, in essence, make a choice of what direction
right.
we go to.
Don't fear the one who can just kill the body. Fear the one who can also kill, you know, cast the soul into hell. And there's a lot. And I love contemporary Christian music.
Yeah.
So everybody out there, don't start writing Jason letters. There are a lot of songs about fear, and they're good songs, but I'm afraid we could throw the baby out with the bathwater here. The fear of God, that's an understanding from the Word of God, the fear of God. And we try to, you know, dress that up. Well, it just means being all of God. Well, you know, it means fear of God. The word in Greek is fear, you know. Understand who God is. And first fear God, and then understand who God is. Love God, but always understand. This is the creator God of the universe. This is a God who formed my soul. Mm-hmm. This is a God who will save or reject my soul. And then you get a better... If you don't have fear of God, you don't really understand the grace of God.
Can you walk that out for us a little bit? If you don't understand the fear of God, you don't understand the grace of God. For somebody maybe just hearing that for the first time, maybe, can you kind of flesh that out a little bit?
Well, let's pull an everyday example, I guess.
Okay.
Out on 330 here. What's the posted speed limit?
I don't know, to be honest, because I go usually 50.
Yeah. If you get out of the corporate limits, it's 55.
Okay.
Right? And over here on 30 or 23, it's I think 65 in
it's
this
65,
part of it.
70 somewhere in there. Yeah.
Yeah, it gets 76. It varies a little bit. What if the state put up a sign and said, "Gee, we'd really kind of like you to go 70, but if you don't want to, that's okay."
Hmm.
That, I'm afraid, is the attitude we have about the law of God.
Yeah.
It's not a gee if you want to kind of a thing. It's here are your choices. You suffer the consequences of living outside of my grace, or you receive my grace through Jesus Christ and surrender to his lordship. And if you don't do that, then you really would do well to have some fear of me, because I am who I am. You know, that's God's name. I am.
Yes.
You can disrespect the speed limit, you can do that. You're also going to suffer the consequence.
Yeah, probably get pulled over.
You're going to get pulled over, and if you're doing 150 and a 65, you're going to pay a pretty hefty gift to the state.
Yeah. And probably lose your license.
And maybe spend a little time as a guest.
Somewhere, you know, getting some food. For
So why should we think God's less powerful than the state of Ohio?
Mm. Right, absolutely. And unfortunately, it seems many people have lost that.
We have, and you understand that outside the church. The problem is it's inside the church.
Mm.
that we have, we're getting a soft view of God, just generally speaking. And I'm not picking on mainline denominations here. I'm talking about evangelicals.
The church, yeah.
We're getting a soft view of God. Mm. And we need to get back to understanding that the God who brought the plagues to Egypt is also the God who sent his son to the cross. This is my beloved son. Hear him. And if you don't understand something, remember Pharaoh. Mm. Remember the Canaanites. Remember, I'm God. I am is a timeless name. So God hasn't changed on us. We're trying to change God. I don't even remember who I heard the quote, but I liked it. God created man in his image, and ever since then, man's been trying to return the favor, to recreate God in our image. And I think that's a lot of that's going on inside the church, and it's trying to think of a nice way to say this, but I can't. It's gutting our message.
Right. Yeah. I have a much stronger word I use, but I'm not going to use it on the radio here. So, yeah. So I'm right there with you. And so with that, if somebody is wanting to be a leader in the church, I mean, again, it's a good position.
Yeah, we're coming back to.
Yeah, if that's okay, if we can do that, simply because, again, the Word of God, Paul says it's a good work. And so, unfortunately, again, let's go back to verse 3 here. It just says, not given to wine. Unfortunately, we've been talking about not having the fear of God. I would say many people now, unfortunately, are into wine or into some kind of a vice that is taking over, and they don't even realize it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So with that being said, or not violent. And I think of is not just, not just living our lives, but we give into violence just watching TV nowadays. And then we take that and then we chastise our wives or our children and not give them a loving word.
Right.
And so
we tend to just be excessive people.
Yeah.
Paul never said you should never, ever have a sip of wine. Certainly that's not what's being said there. He said much wine. In the Greek, it means don't linger by the bottle or by the jug in their time. You can't get away from it.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be able to get away from it. It you control your use of the substance. The substance doesn't control you. We call that addiction. Mm-hmm. It's also idolatry.
You know what? Flesh that out for us, if you don't mind, because that I don't want to say it's a term for us today, but it's definitely kind of foreign for people to hear that word idolatry. Many people today don't think, I mean, since we're not like looking at something that's, carved out or whatever, mm-hmm. many people today don't think they have idols.
Yeah, and let me clarify, I'm not belittling addiction.
Okay.
I understand the power of addiction, that, mm-hmm. that there's a chemical work in the brain that brings that on. I also know it usually starts with a choice, and then the addiction builds in you and draws you in. Basically, though, what you're doing is worshiping that which has drawn you into addiction. So from a theological point of view, and I'm not discounting the medical point of view, but from a theological point of view, that's idolatry. You live your life entirely for this substance. This substance gives you meaning. This substance brings you comfort. This substance, you think, makes you a powerful person or whatever person you think you are while you're under the influence of this. Well, that's worship. Mm. So there is a theological component. You can treat the physical, but if you neglect the spiritual, I think that's why so many folks end up going back in to addictions.
Well, and with that, just personal experience, when you're into that addiction so much, the rest of your life just kind of ceases. I don't want to say ceases, but it definitely you're stalled at a point. Mm. And you can't really move forward because now you've paused your life and you're just staying there. You may feel good for a while, physically, mentally, whatever, but at the end of that road, it's just despair, and you're just kind of, what was the point of that?
Yeah, it's It's a road to destruction. So is sin.
I wonder who talked about that a little bit. Absolutely. So, you know, for friends tuning in, you know, and again, for those that don't know, Larry's going through schooling to be a counselor, and that's the plan anyway, right?
That's the plan.
That's the plan. And so with that, you know, Larry, as far as, you know, someone who maybe, and I know you don't know these people personally, but, you know, through maybe some of your teachings and things you've been taught, or maybe even personal experience, you know, as far as these addictions, could you maybe help people see there's a way out of that, and how they kind of move out of that? I don't want to say give us, you know, 5-step plan or something, but I mean, what would you recommend? What's a great place to start to get out of that?
Wow.
Yeah.
It would be a lot of steps anyway. Okay. Yeah. And really, my hope when I have I'm dealing with someone, is to get them, first off, to start praying scripture. I mean, a lot of people struggle with, I don't even know how to pray. Well, that's all right. Find a psalm that speaks to them and say, I want you to pray this. You can substitute pronouns for yourself and pray it. Don't just read it. Pray it. Pray the Word of God. I think that's a great place to start. Obviously, you've got to surrender to the Lordship of Christ, and you may be a Christian in addiction. Then you need to return to the Lordship of Christ. But for my part, for the theological side, get into the Word of God and prayerfully get into the Word of God. There are a lot of psalms that, honestly, you just pray them. This is the Word of God. God speaking to you from His Word. How about speaking yourself into His Word?
That's really good.
That's just the starting point.
Right. Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Again, friends, you're tuned in to Do Not Keep Silent. My name is Jason DeZurich, your host for the program. Again, you can find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. And sitting down here again with Pastor Larry Birch. He's the pastor at Evangelical Pietist Church, right here in Ohio, right downtown Chatfield.
Beautiful downtown Chatfield.
Beautiful downtown. And if people would like to find out more about the church, where can they go for that?
Well, there are a few different places. We have a website this is all one word, pietistchurch.org. Now, pietist, it's tough. It's P-I-E-T-I-S-T. And I hope you can spell church.
Yep.
Put that together, .org. We have a Facebook page, which is Evangelical Pietist Church. We have a YouTube channel, which is Chatfield Evangelical.
Okay. So, yeah, friends, you can find out more about there. And, Larry, as we continue on here, I really want to make sure we touch on this. Not greedy for money.
Yeah.
I want to talk about that because I think people would get confused simply because, what does not greedy for money mean? It doesn't mean don't make money, does it?
No, it doesn't mean don't make money. There is such a thread of commonality, if you will, like don't be addicted to this substance. Money can become an addiction.
Okay.
You know, if my drive is to pile up the money, what's the point there? Then that's, again, I'm worshiping money. I guess everything does really come back to either you're worshiping an idol or you're worshiping God. And greedy for money, obviously you start to misuse your people. You redirect the ministry into, just a business to make money. A revenue driver, that's the word I was looking for. And we've seen this happen time and time again in this country. The media is a powerful tool for good and a powerful tool to succumb to the greed side of things. You can start out with a small church and end up with a mega church and a TV and radio ministry that just rakes in money like crazy. And unless God is on the throne in your life, you might start to think, hey, this really works well. I'm going to have me a bunch of yachts and airplanes and mansions, and I should live like this because I'm special.
Sure. Well, so for the person that, you know, again, we're talking about people that, you know, maybe desire a position within the church. So those who, are already there, if you will, meaning they're in the position. When you're looking for someone, not greedy for money, because, I mean, they'll bring that in with them, mm-hmm. right?
Oh, sure.
And so before that, I mean, you kind of need to vet them. Is that a good way to put that? Or
yeah, I think that's,
pray?
That's,
I don't know.
That's the language of, you know, to vet that person. You really, you know, that's why you call the references.
Right. Right. It's almost like a job interview is what kind of.
In a great sense. And if they've had a public ministry, it's all recorded. You know,
yes.
You go back and watch them, listen to them, see where they're going.
Yes, absolutely. Now, I wanted to ask you, it says, so, you know, not great for my, and then it goes, but gentle.
Mm-hmm.
So it says, but gentle. Now, that's positive. And then it goes right back into not quarrelsome.
Yeah. Because it's tough to be gentle and quarrelsome at the same time.
Okay.
And the quarrelsome thing, Paul's often warning about getting into these, going down the rabbit trails of endless genealogies or particular words. They had issues with legalism, which we've talked about before.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I'm gentle, I'm willing to talk with you, not just at you.
Mm.
For starters, if you do something that I think is totally out of line, it governs my approach to you, rather than screaming at you to say, hey, you know, you and I are both human beings. We're both under the lordship of Christ, and there are some directions we should take, and there are some directions we probably shouldn't, we definitely shouldn't take. And I notice in your life that this one issue is kind of beginning to hamper your work in the kingdom. Could we just sit down and talk about it? That's the gentle approach. The other approach is to get a 40-pound Bible and start whacking you upside the head with it. Closed, not open.
Right, right. And with that, then, I just want to ask a question as we kind of wrap up here. And friends, we'll continue this later on, and we'll have a few minutes here to talk. So. The thing I'm hearing with what you just kind of said there, what I see that as is you're talking about accountability. It's what I'm sensing from you, and so
that is a very important accountability.
Okay,
yeah.
So accountability is important, and you know you give it gently, but what if the person doesn't receive it in that way, and then they come back going, "Well, what's your problem? Now, how do you handle that?"
Well, let's go to the Gospels.
Okay, that's good.
You know, if your brother offends you, you go to them in private, right? And if they don't listen, you go back with another elder, with another brother or sister. And if they don't listen to that, you take it to the church. And if they just don't listen to that, that's where church discipline comes in.
Right. And that, now, friends, what Larry's talking about is found in Matthew 18. Mm-hmm. And I know it's a very tough teaching. It is. But it's from Jesus himself.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just really want to encourage you, look, go to Matthew 18, maybe read through it a bit. Let it come in you and marinate. Because a lot of times it's hard to receive that. It really is. But at the same time, those of you going, oh, I've got a problem. I know someone I'll keep them accountable. Okay, that's really a bad attitude too.
Yeah. Accountability is a two-way thing.
Okay, explain that.
Yeah, accountability means we watch out for each other, not just
in love
by the grace of God, understanding that we are sinners saved by grace, that we carry the scars of our sin and effects of the sin with us, and from time to time there are things we need to take to the cross and surrender. Maybe there's a little corner that didn't quite get surrendered yet, and if I have an accountability brother or sister in Christ, or a bunch of them, which is better, then they can point these things out to me, and I can point things out to them in a gentle, graceful way, not with a ball-peen hammer.
You know, I'm glad you bring that up. You know, unless you've been living under a rock, you know that our society, it's just been kind of a weird year. And really, the way things have kind of gone, we've kind of gotten away from this accountability, away from close relationships. And so, you know, as we kind of are moving back into hopefully getting to kind of a normal or some new normal or whatever, what would be your advice to people as they're getting back into society of trying to rebuild those, you know, a bridge back to people? Or because, it, I mean, let's just be honest. I mean, there's some people out there, they haven't been out in society for months.
Yes. Well, I think we need to just restart the fellowship. Really, we go out for coffee together, have a church meal, have a potluck, get people back in together talking and catching up.
Yeah.
Really, just sit down and catch up with folks. You can't go in at 90 mile an hour. You have to get back in. You need to reestablish that pace of relationship, if you will, so that we can begin to have conversations again and see each other's lips while we're talking to each other. For those have a little hearing issue, this has been a terrible year.
Right.
If you have hearing issues and you're used to seeing people's lips move, you know, wow, this has been rugged. So you can't just jump right back in full speed. I think we need to get fellowship going, get those conversations going again, pray with one another, pray for one another, just get back into being the body of Christ.
And friends, with that too, I just want to encourage all of us tuning in right now, really get good at listening. Really get good at listening, meaning don't be preparing what you're about to say back to that person, because unfortunately, I'm guilty of this too. We've been training ourselves for a year how not really to listen and just respond with our wisdom.
Not be your own.
Be made new in Jesus Christ.
I won't play your games. Just let me be.
Find us online
at donotkeepsilent.com.